We are in a study of the Ten Commandments. Are the Ten Commandments valid for today? Well, we are proposing that Jesus, the one who is the fulfillment of all the law, has come to us and transformed in such a way that the commandments in many ways mean more because they are not merely something that throws us down, but we are given in Christ the gift of pursuing godliness. We are given in Christ by faith the gift of pursuing that which pleases Him. And the Ten Commandments are a very reflection of the very character of God. Therefore, they must be good. And Christ, who is the fulfillment of the law, is the one who is our elder brother. He is our righteousness, as was sung earlier. He is the one who enables us to honor God, received by grace, pursued in godliness. So I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 20, the first giving the formal declaration of the law under Moses, Exodus 20, the second book in the New Testament. Let's pray and we'll consider God's Word, verse 12. Holy and gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You are our God and that You have every right over us. We even thank You for what is hard in our day to see. We thank You for authority over us in Christ and in the offices and governances and homes that You have given us, Father. Help us to see Your Word and to appropriate it and to love You in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the Word of God, commandment number 5 from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and your mother. Now that is a requirement for all of us because we all have parents, don't we? But it's also an expansive requirement because in the home is the first picture of authority. It was Augustine who said that the home is the first hospital, it's the first school, it's the first government, and it's the first church. It's where we learn to appropriate the things of God. It is the first government, as it were, and it's expansive in that sense. You know, not too long ago, our family had a family portrait done. We had the picture taken. And, you know, when your kids are young like ours, 10, 7, 6, 18 months, that's always an interesting time to have a picture taken. It's interesting because you're not really trying to capture what is. You're trying to capture what you want to be. And when you have four kids looking in every direction and desiring to move all over the place, a picture's not the first thing on their mind. You know, a family portrait is something that sets up the ideal, right? This is what we want you to see our family to be. Well, sometimes I think we ought to just take a family portrait of how we are. And if we were to do that, I would look like this. It would be much more disheveled, right? Because we live in a world where family is challenging at times. It is good. I mean, who do you love more in this world than your family? Not all of you need to answer. God has given us family to enjoy, to love, but it's a challenge, isn't it? Everyone in the room has endured or come upon or been through that challenge of honoring father and mother. And yet I want you to see that God gives it for our benefit. That really, the reason we honor our parents is because we're called to honor God. So when we dishonor our parents, at the root of it's really a dishonor of God. Now, we step into what's called the second table of the Ten Commandments this morning. If you've not been with us, we've been working our way through. We've dealt with the first four commandments, which is generally, by theologians, considered table one, because they reflect what Jesus said in the Great Commandment, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And that's what the first four commandments set us upon, in the majesty of God. We are to honor God. We are to love God. But the second table, and Jesus declares that it's like unto, it is important as well as we honor God with all our heart, our soul, our mind. There is a second commandment that is like unto it, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are to love our neighbor, and we step into that this day as we see that the closest neighbor to all of us is the family, right? And from there, He will proceed to teach us that we are to love in spheres of influence, out. We are to love our families. We are to love our church. We are to love those at our workplace. We are to love those in our community. We are to love those in our world. And there's a way to do that. And the first point here is that we come under right authority, God-given authority for God's glory. We honor our parents because God has placed them in that office in our life. In God's good providence in your life, He has given you the parents that He has given you. Now, I know some of you would like a trade-in. Wouldn't say it here. But you question God. And I would say that God has shown you the beauty of His provision in the parents that He has given you, whether you are 3 or 33 or 63. And His call here is for us to honor our parents. You see, the love of God works its way out very practically as we honor the parents that God has given us, as we honor the authority that God has put over us. Now, three things I want you to see here. You can see it on your outline, but three things that I would show you this morning. First, the expectation of honor due our parents. The expectation of honor due our parents. Now, if we just think about it culturally for a second, there have probably not been in our country a more turbulent time than there is right now in the relationship of us to authority and the family as a whole since the 60s. Many of you can't remember the 60s. I don't really either. I was born in the 60s. I was 3 when the 60s were over. And I don't remember, but I know that that was a foundational time because one of the battle cries, as it were, of the 60s, 1960s, that is, was freedom. You know, to throw off, to tear ourselves away from authority. And there's been that ongoing battle back and forth. And for probably 20 years, there was this great press to free yourself, as it was, from the tyranny of those who were over you, any authority that was over you, your parents. But you know, in the last couple of decades, there's been this resurgence in the church, but in the United States as a whole, what we call family values. Seen the idiocy of it, as it were, of living on our own. But we've wanted to rediscover the family, but I'm interested in the way we want to rediscover it. Not in the biblical sense often, but in a kind of a paired sense where we share. You know, it's a very egalitarian kind of thing. Everybody has their voice. Everybody does their own thing. Let's just get along. But the world doesn't work that way. We are called to honor those God gives us, and even at times to obey in ways that are difficult. As a matter of fact, it may not be true obedience until it is difficult. We are called to love those whom God has given us over us, and we are called to defend and protect and care and share life with them. And I want you to see that because there is an expectation here that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. It's an old preacher story, but there was a time when there was an atheist and an atheist with his family and a Jewish man with his family on an airplane, and they were traveling overseas, so they had many hours on the plane together. And as they sat together, the two men sat together and they struck up a conversation that was religious in nature, began to talk about their differences and aired their differences and views of whether there was no God or whether there was one God. And their discussion went on for a while, and after some hours of being on the plane, the atheist turned to this Jewish man and he said, reflecting on his family, he said, "Your family really serves you. I've noticed that several times family who are sitting around have come to see if you needed a blanket or a pillow or something to drink. They really said, you know, not one of my family members has talked to me yet on this plane." To which the Jewish man said, "Oh, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense because, you see, my family sees me in a chain that links all the way back to the God of Sinai, and they are to honor me. But your children see you in a chain that links all the way back to the apes, and so they treat you thus." Now, there's a reason that I come this way, that the very essence of honor comes from that which links us to God Himself. The God of Sinai has come, and He says, you will honor me by honoring those I placed over you. You should honor your parents. Now, that's the key that unlocks this commandment. What does it mean to honor? You ever ask yourself that before? What does it mean to honor? Well, in the Hebrew, that word there is I don't give you many Hebrew words, but this was an important one. You'll hear it from time to time, kavod. It is a word that means weighty. It is a word that means heavy, and it's most often used in the Old Testament of the glory of God, how weighty, when God's glory comes upon His people, when it is displayed in front of Him, it is kavod, it is heavy. It is wondrous. And the picture of honor gathers that in. What does that mean for us in this context that we are to honor our parents, honor our father and mother? Well, it means that their opinions, their desires must have a weighty place within our life. What they say to us, we can't take lightly. We should consider. For children, that means the word honor there means that when asked, you obey. And as you grow older, honor means that you listen with deference to that which your parents say to you. God has given them to you as a protection, as a hope, as a care. Now, some of you might bristle on the inside there. And we like the idea of honor in the sense of let's be nice to each other, right? But there's something heavier, weightier here. We are to honor our parents. We are to honor them in ways that hear them and defer in many ways. As this verse is applied in Ephesians 6, when Paul applies it, he applies it to children. Children, obey your parents. Right? Now, that's very specific there because he's speaking to little children. The Greek word there is for little children. There's a time when we obey. But all of life, we are in relationship with our family, and we are to care, to honor, to listen. And there may, the principle is the same. There is honor that is due, so there is honor that is given. The exact nature of that may depend on the age. When you're very young, it means obey and obey the first time. Right, kids? Right, Micah? What do we need in home? When do you obey? Every time, first time. You know, it's the whole obedience. It's the heartfelt obedience. It's the right obedience, right? Here's the point. For children, that means obey. And, you know, some of you might be married. You know, well, wait, how do I? Do I have to give every day? Things change, right? They do, but there's still this honor that is due our parents. And so there's this expectation. What I'm saying is that there's no age to honor. Whether you're 13 or 18 or 21 or 40 or 65. You're called to give honor to those in the office of parent, mother and father. As a matter of fact, in Moses' day, one of the incredible things about this is that it was honor to both mother and father. No parallel in any source you will ever read in the days of Moses as he is writing that it is honor to father and mother. But it's very clear scripturally here, we honor father and mother. Why? Because biblical honor is a lifetime of respect. Though the ways we honor may change, and we'll come to that in a few moments, the principle of honor must always be given to those whom God... And since the home is the first picture of authority, that begins to work its way out, not only in the home, but in the church. Not only in the church, but in the workplace. Not only in the workplace, but in the nation. We are to honor the authority that God gives us, for He sets authority over us. But notice here, it's not only the expectation of honor due our parents, but it's the encouragement of honor due our parents. Why should children honor their parents? Well, first and foremost, God commanded it, right? God says so, we should do it. But it's very interesting here, the encouragement comes not only in God's command, but in God's promise, right? Well, Paul would say it's the first commandment with a promise, at least a very particular promise. Notice here, honor your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. There's a promise of the fullness and abundance of life. As we honor the rightful authority over us, God honors us. He blesses us. Matter of fact, that's scriptural. Honor me and I will honor you. The Word of God tells us about our relationship to God. So we are to honor. as that is expanded in Deuteronomy 5, right before they go into the land. I think it's an exposition upon that. What does it mean to live long in the land? Moses is giving the law the second time, he expands a little on this command. He says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God is giving you, that it may go well with you. Paul captures that again in Ephesians 6 when he's speaking to parents to children, that it may go well with you. That's what the fullness of this phrase is. Not merely long life. It is the abundance of life that is in view here. One of the ways we try to discipline our kids is because we believe God's Word is living and active in our home. We often remind them of Scripture. Now there's a way you could do that the wrong way, I'm sure. You could beat it over their head. And it might drive them crazy. But you know, in reminding them of the truth of the Word is always helpful, because then it's not just you coercing, it's God's Word working. My sister-in-law, the one that favors my wife the most, does that pretty frequently. And I have heard her on several occasions come to her sons and sometimes daughter and say to them, is it going well with you? She has read to them that verse, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you. Is it going well with you? And often they get it. You know, just I say, you know what? I hadn't thought about it. It's not going well with me right now, is it, Mom? No, they don't say it in just those words, but you can see it. Now, sometimes I see her, she has to go, is it going well with you? Because it's not going well with me. But you see, here's the principle that I want you to get, is that there's an encouragement, because when you honor your parents, it will go well with you. Underlying this promise is a truth that needs to govern our lives. When we are rightfully under God's authority and the authority that He has placed under us, it will go well with us. It does not mean it's easy, but you sow seeds, and how you respond to authority is how you respond to God's authority. Is it going well with you? The reason we honor is so that it will go well, not for selfish purposes, but because we desire the very glory of God to be manifest in our lives. God promises abundant life to those who follow His authority and the derived authority that He has placed over them. Now you might say, wait, the authority is not always good. You're right. I'm not suggesting that parents always act in godly ways. Some may not care about God at all. And even godly parents, those who desire to be godly, don't always act in godly ways, right? But just because you don't like what they do doesn't mean you can throw off that which God's called you to. Don't take that honor lightly. You honor whom God has put in your life. There is the encouragement. As a matter of fact, the psalmist knew this. Even though my father and mother forsake me, God will not. Psalm 27. God will not forsake us. Our honor given is first an honor given to God and then to our parents. And I think a good example of that is David and Jonathan. You know, David and Jonathan under King Saul, God had called David to be the king of Israel. And yet it was a time before he would take the throne. And Saul became very jealous of David because he knew that the Lord was with him. And Saul's son Jonathan and David had a very special friendship. Now that put Jonathan in a difficult situation to honor God, but he wanted to honor his father. And it's amazing if you read beginning in Samuel, if you read beginning chapter 18, you see this difficulty of doing it. But he always finds a way to honor God and his father. And even David, because it's interesting in Scripture, father is not just the father, the natural father, the father who brought you into this world, but kings were considered fathers, those who governed over were considered fathers, those who led, like prophets and priests, were considered fathers of the nation. There was this inclusive nature of father, of the family within community. And so in a sense, Saul was David's father. He was king, even though David would be the next king. It's very interesting how that worked out in David's life. Because here you got a man who gets angry at David. What does he do? He casts a little spear at him. Well, you might say there's a little contention in that family, right? He leaves. And what does Saul do? Saul pursues him. And then they come into a cave in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And David's in the very back of that cave. And Saul comes in to rest. And he's pursuing because he wants to kill David. And David's men say, look, here he is. All you got to do is take it. The kingdom is yours, in essence, is what they want him to do. But David won't. Now he goes up and he cuts a piece of his robe, but he won't take his life. Why? Because this very principle is he will not dishonor what God has honored. Here's the encouragement to honor. Yes, sometimes it is difficult, but still we make it our effort to honor what God honors. You see, the biblical honor prizes the godly reward. Now, there is not only encouragement to honor, but I think the context does set forward an extent of the honor due our parents. As a matter of fact, maybe Philip Ryken says it best at this point when he says, the honor we owe our parents is never to come at the expense of the honor we owe God. So we are to honor our parents, but never at the expense. If it comes between God and parents, who do we honor? Well, we honor God. But we still, when we have to honor God, we still do that in honorable ways to our parents as much as we can. You know, there are people in this room who've been mocked because they prayed and their parents saw that. They thought that was, you know, you still have to pray, right? That honors God. But you can still honorably disagree with your parents about that principle and about the love of God. If your family says you are not allowed to go to worship, there are others in this room who have had their parents say and family say that. You are still to worship the living God. It's the very command of God, right? The very essence of life. And still, you want to encourage and honor what God has given. Why do I say that? Well, because this context is set in the context of God's love, right? And the very goal that's given to parents is to lead their children in God's love. And so we are to follow our leaders following the love of God. And, you know, it's a challenge sometimes when we struggle with that. But there is an extent to that authority. It cannot command us to do that which is wrong or to neglect that which is right in God's eyes. But still, we are to honor those whom God has given us. Some of you might say, well, what about abuse, Wade? When someone is hurt physically or emotionally or sexually. Now, I will tell you from my experience as a professional counselor before I came here as a pastor, what I've seen is probably about 50% of the cases where I've seen someone hurt badly by true abuse. If it's been within the family, it's been done in the name of God. What do you do in that case? You know how you honor your parents or the person near you in that? You honor by telling an authority above, who can free you from a sin and who can help them through that sin. It's not just being quiet. It's honoring by doing that which would bring true honor. But it's also the honor of forgiveness. The common literature in counseling today says if you're abused, you know, you have a right because you were hurt to hold on to that hate, and to hate, it will make you stronger. And I will tell you, dozens of times I've seen that hate destroys, because what has you, because of the bondage of sin in another, it begins to work its way out, even if a little differently, in the lives of others. So you honor them by forgiving them. And you honor them by going forth in God's mercy. There's an extent to honor. There is. We must honor God first. But we must honor God wholly, even as we have to work out the ways to honor. And sometimes, you know, you want to make those decisions. That's why God gives you a church, so that you have leaders, teachers and deacons and elders and pastors around you who can help you make important decisions when it's hard to find ways to honor authority. Those who will help guide your senses. But here's the point, is that we are called to honor because it's first the call to honor God and then to honor godly authority. There can't be, what I'm saying here, there can't be an arm's length honor where you just pretend to honor someone. It is to be deep and true and real. First Lady Laura Bush accounts for a time in a speech one time. She accounted of a time when she and George W. Bush were visiting the senior Bushes. They were in their home, and she says that one morning, as is his normal, George W. got up at 6 o'clock, came down, got his coffee, and went in and sat with his parents in their living room, placed his feet up on the table, to which his mother, George W.'s mother, said, "Get your feet off my table." And George, number 41, said, "Honey, he's the President of the United States." And she said, "I don't care. Take your feet off my table." And Laura Bush said, even the president listens to his mother. Now here's what I want you to get. There is this sphere of honor that is due our parents. And that may look different at different ages, but there is an honor that is to come. It is very practical and it is genuine. You know, if we were to apply this, I want you to see that biblical honor is not a theory, it is a practice. I don't want you to go away saying, yeah, that's a good word, Wade. I want you to go away and I want you to do that. I want you to honor your parents. Children, you can all look now. Wave. Your parents won't get on you for this. Thank you, Michael. You can listen. Listen for a second, okay? What does it mean for you to honor your parents? Well, it does mean first-time obedience. It does mean with the heart that is right, following the Lord. So when your mama asks you to clean your room, you know what that means? You don't shove everything under the bed and hope she doesn't notice. No, because you love God and you love your parents, you seek to honor in the right way, which means to obey. You know, when your dad comes in and says, I need a little help, and you're in the middle of a TV show or a game, you don't respond with, oh, come on, Dad. Yes, sir. Right, Christopher? But it's not just because they command you. It's because they are to lead you. Keep asking your parents, how are you showing me the love of Jesus? And how in following you am I following Him? But children, follow your parents. Now, teenagers, I know you don't want to look at me. But it's a command for you as well, right? How do you honor your parents? Well, it's by obeying, but it's also by not rolling your eyes. Your parents are not stupid. You may think so, but they are not. And honestly, they're not against you. If they won't let you do this one thing that everyone else is doing, everyone else is not their leader. God is. It's not rolling your eyes. It's not it's care for your posture. It's the attitude of the heart. And as I've worked with teenagers and I've watched teenagers, that's where real honor. That's the critical issue of honor. One father told me, this week dealing with this and kind of the old home, his own home, he decided that he would work on it with his daughter. And so he looked up the word haughty in the Bible, because in Proverbs it says there are six things that God hates, seven things that are an abomination to God. And you know what the first one is? Haughty eyes. That's right. Well, you know, sometimes parents will try to trap you, teenagers. And so he began to read the definition, and what explains when you roll your eyes to me? And came to the word disdain, and the daughter said, yeah, that's it, disdain. It's disdain. And then he read her the verse. Now that'll hit close to home, won't it? The teenagers, hear me on this. Your parent, it's a time, a good time of growing independence, but it's a time of honor. Get there together. Some of the greatest wounds in my own life are the ways I dishonored my parents when I was a teenager. It took me, all of a sudden at 25, my parents matured. They finally grew up. And I decided I liked them again. And I regretted many of the things I did as a teenager. Why? Because I would do it in action. I would obey in action, but not really in the heart. And true honor is from the heart. All right, college students. You know, in a couple of weeks more, if you had been here, I almost put this off so I could get the whole group of college students to be. But here's the truth, college students. I know you want your parents to be close enough to pay, but far enough that you can still play. But the truth is, you are still under an authority structure. Even if you live away from home, remember, if they're still paying, they still have the right to ask questions about your life. If your hand is in their pocketbook, you cannot put the other hand over their mouth. You are encouraged by God's Scripture to honor your parents, to hear them, and to follow their wise counsel. Yes, you are getting a budding freedom, and that's a good thing. But as you do it in honor. Yes, you are to grow up and to leave. And yes, parents, that is your goal in the teenage years and in college, to let them mature and to grow. But kids, that doesn't come without honor. As a matter of fact, it comes most clearly in honor. In honoring your parents. Maybe you're in the 20-somethings and you're discovering all the new. Maybe you're discovering like I did. They're not as bad as I thought they were. and you're beginning to enjoy that relationship again. There may be times when you take that advice and you say, God, Mom, Dad, I'm going to take that and I'm going to go press that through God's Word. Thank you. But let me consider it. Or if you're young marrieds, you know what grandparents come to me and say is, I feel like I've just been pushed aside. You know how you honor your parents? Yes, the authority structure begins to change when you form a new home, but you still honor them by letting them be in part, by writing them. When's the last time you wrote a note to your parents? By encouraging them, by letting them be a part, by letting them share their wisdom. And then as you mature and you're the adult child of an aging parent, you know what honor means? It means you see them through to the end and you love them. And there are people I can show you in this church who have done that well, and I'll encourage you to go to them when that time comes. And it's a tougher and tougher problem in our day. As the lifespan gets hard, it's not easy because it takes commitment, but it's what we're supposed to commit. And Jesus confronted that very thing in Matthew 15. It's not something that's new to our day. It's old. In the day of Jesus, when he was confronting the Pharisees, they were confronting him, and he confronted them about the way they took care of their parents. Because the common way in that way is they had a little religious speak to get out of taking care of their parents. It was called korban. They would say, all that we have, we give to the temple. Now, it's still in our care. We can spend it, but we give it to the temple. And so you parents, we'll honor you, but you're on your own. It was merely lip service. And Jesus said, you're breaking the command to honor your parents. You know, one of the things that ought to mark us as a church in this nation is that we care for the elderly well because we love our families. I'm not saying it's easy. Honor never truly is. But we are to honor those that God sets before us. We could do a lot more. And I know in this room this is true. There are no perfect children, right? If you look at your heart, there are no perfect children save one, Jesus. And every time we've broken the fifth commandment, He has covered that by His blood, and He directs us to honor, to rest in Him and to seek in Him. We need to honor because we follow the way of the Savior, because we're forgiven in the sacrifice of the Savior. Now, I have spent most of our time, 30-plus minutes already applying that to the home. But I really want you to know that I've done that. Why? Because the home is the incubator to society. Biblical honor in the home is really the beginning of biblical honor in society. You know, there weren't many things, probably, though he was the president and I respect his office, that Mr. Hoover got right. But he did get this right. He did get this right. In the quote that was at the top of your page, the cure for crime is not the electric chair. It's not the end. It's not the punishment. It's the beginning. It's the high chair. Begin at home. To share authority and to love what God has given you. Why? Because we are to care about the home in a way that affects society. You see, biblical authority in the home is that which is going to win the day in the world. The home is a microcosm of all that there is in life. And so, yes, you should honor your church leaders. You know, I like this part. Mr. Watson, the great Puritan Thomas Watson, when he applies this command, he applies it to all fatherhoods, and he comes to the pastor and to the elders. You know, there's a great disdain for the church and church leadership in our day. You come into the church and you say, yes, I will listen and I will follow. I will study the purity and peace of the church. And then when you start going away and I knock on your door, you don't want to hear from me, right? Now, I understand, because I am probably confronting you in something. But I need you to confront me, and I need to confront you when it does. But it's a matter of this command, honor. Honor those in authority. Now, can I go wrong? Absolutely. And if I do, you can weigh. God or man? Who am I following here? God or man? Follow God. But we need to honor biblical authority. We need to reclaim that in the church. But we also need to reclaim it in the workplace. You know, it's easy in the economy that we live in today to bash, you know, you have no problem finding someone who will talk bad about your boss at the water cooler, do you? And that's not your job. And not all bosses are good bosses, right? But still, you are to give a good day's work and you are to give honor according to this command. And even the President of the United States. You know what democracy, as good as democracy is, you know how democracy works? It is based off of criticism. You ever watched a debate between two democratically elected officials? What's it about? It's about criticism, and that works its way down to us. You may not like the President of the United States, but you are to honor his office. Romans 13 says, God put him there. You know, some of you are so worried about what's going to happen in the next election. Should we be active and should we be at work to do that which is best for our country? Absolutely. Vote. Be a part of the political process. But whoever gets elected, they are owe and due your honor. You may not agree with every policy, but do you agree with every policy of the current administration? Or the last administration or the administration before? Probably not. But here's my point. We are to honor those whom God has placed over us. And this is the end, beloved. That in honoring what God has set over us, we are honoring God and we will achieve the honor that is beautiful in Christ. Beloved, let us be a people full of honor because we are a people who are full of the work of the Savior. Let us honor. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that our hearts will not feel preached at, but our hearts will feel conviction that will lead to the newness of joy and honor. We reflect on the ways our hearts run from authority and run from you. And make it a day where we commit anew to seek you, to honor you, and to honor our parents, and to honor those of authority. In Jesus' name, amen.